for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday evening, December the 26th, 1989. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris is the main speaker of the evening.
Lord, oh, praise Him. Praise His wonderful name now, O Lord. Oh, now, Lord, now, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, O Lord.
Hear, my people, yea, and give an ear. Yea, I would have your attention, saith the Lord. Yea, and I shall allow you to hear of the excellent glory of my voice from on high, saith the Lord. Yea, I have brought thee together to minister unto thee, yea, to bring deliverance. Yea, I foreknow that I shall cleanse thee from all unrighteousness. Yea, as thou dost submit thyself, even unto the Lord, saith God. Yea, for you that have followed a long time, yea, and you that have followed not so long, I tell you now to be not weary in well-doing, for in the season, when the season comes, you shall reap an abundant harvest, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for yet will I raise up a people that will be called by my name. Yea, and I shall give them dominion, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and they shall rule and reign with me ages upon ages, saith the Lord of glory. Yea, I tell you now that this is what it's all about. Yea, this is what is working in your inner man, saith the Lord. Yea, it is I that is working in you, saith the Lord. Yea, I have begun a good work, and I will surely accomplish it toward my purpose, saith the Lord. It has been here a little and there a little. Yea, but in the fullness of time, I shall surely fill you with myself, saith the Lord of glory. Yea, I'll take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Yea, and I will give you pastors after mine own heart, yea, that shall feed thee on spiritual fodder, saith the Lord thou God. And thou shalt grow like fatted calves in a stall, for the Lord of glory, yea, shall shower his blessings upon thee, saith the Lord. Yea, you are a people of destiny and not a people of doom. You are a people of victory and not a people of defeat, saith the Lord thou God. Therefore, it is time to arise, yea, and come to the kingdom, saith the Lord thou God. For who knoweth but what you have come to this day for a very specific purpose, saith the Lord thou God. Be not defeated, yea, by distraction. Be not defeated by the great adversary. Yea, for know that the enemy hath come but to kill, steal, and destroy. But I am come that you may have an abundant life, saith the Lord thou God. And what I give unto thee I take not away, saith the Lord. But I shall give unto thee life, and thou shalt live and not die, saith the Lord. Yea, I'm calling on thee. Yea, I am inviting you. Yea, I am calling for a people to pose a dedication that is beyond yourself, saith the Lord thou God. It'll take a sovereign move of God and the initiative of humanity, yea, to bring forth the purpose of God in your lives. But I shall surely abide with you until the job is done, saith the Lord thou God. And you shall come into the kingdom as one, for the Lord of glory has ordained it. Yea, and if God be for you, who is he that can be against you? I tell you now that I have spoken, and when I have spoken, there are none that can gainsay. Yea, I am not a man that I should lie, neither the son of man that I should repent, saith the Lord of glory. Yea, I speak from the foreknowledge of the Almighty. Yea, and know that I know all things from the beginning to the end, and from the end back to the beginning. I saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and I am shaping thee. I am revealing. Yea, I tell you, it has pleased the Father that by the Son and through the Son he will bring many sons to glory. And I tell you now that this is the workmanship of the blessed Lord. Yea, he worketh in you to wit his will in your life. I tell you now that the Lord of glory will not slack his hand. Yea, and he saith, you shall not slack yours. Yea, for the Lord thou God hath brought thee together on this place and this hour, yea, that you might be blessed of the Lord. Yea, that you might come a little further and a little further into the kingdom, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, that you might have just a little bit more of his righteousness wrought in you during these services, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, as you come together for deliverance, yea, and for a greater walk with God, I, the Lord thou God, will withhold no good thing from my children, saith the Lord. Yea, for I am in the midst of thee as one that watcheth over thee, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I shall surely give my all for thee. Ye shall surely give your all to me. Yea, and you shall surely be a great people, for I have already declared. Yea, let the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. Ah, but I've already set my king in my holy hill of Zion. And who is he that can change it one iota, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for I am God that reigns, and I reign in your midst. I'm among you as one that serveth, saith the Lord. Yea, and I'll serve unto you good things, for I am the Lord, and there's none other like me, saith the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I tell you, as your heart is made glad, the enlargement is going to come to you, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall enlarge your capacity for hearing. I shall enlarge your capacity for receiving, yea, and for keeping. Yea, I shall enlarge your memory, saith the Lord thou God. I shall enlarge thee in many ways as you come with me to Zion, saith the Lord. Yea, and I shall overshadow thee with my goodness, and I shall preserve thee and protect thee from now until then, saith the Lord. Only follow the Lord without question, saith God, yea, and learn to know his voice so that you will not be deterred by the voice of a stranger. For I tell you now that there are strange voices in the land. Yea, but I am training a people that will know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow, saith the Lord thou God. I have brought you together, to strengthen you and to bring you a little bit further toward your spirit of maturity, saith the Lord thou God, because you are my people. Yea, and I shall rest over this campground with my Shekinah glory. I shall enshroud the grounds. Yea, and I shall bless you one and all together as you focus your mind upon me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. He is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee in all thy ways. He shall preserve thy goings out and coming in from henceforth and forevermore. Oh, blessed be God. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, may Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, they had swallowed us up quick. Then had the streams overwhelmed us, and the waters had passed over us, and the proud waters had gone over our souls. But thanks be to God, he didn't give us a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird, out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God. The Lord God reigneth. He's clothed with majesty. He's clothed with strength.
Yes, hallelujah.
Ah, hallelujah. The earth is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne, O Lord, is established of old. The floods have lifted up. The floods have lifted up their voices. The floods have lifted up their waves. But the Lord God on high is mightier than the voices of many waters. He is mightier than the waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure, and holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Ah, yes. I tell you now, saith the Lord, that I shall wrought a true form of holiness in you in these days of study, yea. I speak not of the external, but the internal, saith the Lord thou God. I am not speaking legalistic, yea, I'm speaking to your spirit. When deep calls to deep, you will be brought a little closer to the throne, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and a little more of my life will be meted to thee, saith God. Hallelujah. In Him we live and move and have our being. That's Scripture. It is equally true that in us He lives and He moves and He has His being.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And one thrills me about as much as the other does. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like it that way, don't you? In us He lives and moves and has His being. We are the expression. We are His expression.
Yes.
We are His vocal. Oh, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself.
Yes.
You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, that though He were rich, yet He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. Hallelujah. Oh, the multiplied mercy and grace of our God rest upon us tonight. Hallelujah. We are a blessed people. You are blessed indeed for having come to the service tonight. I just know that the Lord is blessing you. Deep is calling to deep. Yeah, and you feel that there's a transformation going on inside. The inner man is being ministered to. You're in the presence of the Almighty. Hallelujah. You're in the realm of the Shekinah glory. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God forever. We surrender up all of our... this is a place that we surrender up all of our know-how. Hallelujah. Amen. Just about the same. In the tabernacle of old, you know, the showbread and the candlesticks and all of this spoke of the miraculous ministry that is brought forth in the New Testament, of course. But before you could go behind the holiest of holies, you had to burn some incense. Now, what it was just about time we learned how to operate all these things. Hallelujah. And do it good. He said, put it in the fire. And so we had to translate it from know-how to smoke to get behind the veil, you know. So, it is that we carry not ourselves behind the veil, but that we carry Him behind the veil. In the Old Testament, the lamb died for the shepherd. In the New Testament, the shepherd dies for the sheep.
Amen.
He gives his life for the sheep. Well, of course, I don't make a great division between the Old and the New. It's one book. And you can't understand one without the other, can you? Hallelujah. Amen. But it is progressive. That's why the new is so much fuller than the old. It is progressive. God begins to speak through types and shadows in Eden. And every time he spoke again, he pinpointed it just a little bit more. Praise the Lord. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, that when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray and turned every man to his own way. And the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. And who shall declare his generation? Oh, blessed be God. And on the prophet goes until he divides unto him a portion with the great, because he had poured out his soul unto death. Back under the old English law, before fingerprinting became a definite means of identification, four identifying marks was enough to stand up in an English court. The prophet Isaiah puts 27 identifying marks on our blessed Lord in one prophecy, one chapter. He identifies him with 27 marks. Actually, it would take only four to get a positive identification. And what's so marvelous about it is he did it almost 800 years before the baby cried out in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, when we talk about the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Now, the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. What an awful chance he would have taken if he hadn't already had his king set in his holy hill of Zion. Hallelujah. Blessed be God forever. Oh, praise the Lord.
I don't pray very well sitting down, and I think I heard David preach one time or teach one time about praising the Lord and praying. And I think I heard him say that he couldn't pray very well sitting down either. That he either had to stand up or lay down or something. And that's true with me, too. I pray better standing up or laying down, not sitting down, kneeling. Father, it's a privilege this evening to come and bring this that you've given unto us tonight, to present it unto Jesus, our high priest, as a sweet savor from these thy people, for the furtherance of the gospel here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and those who come here to minister. Father, I thank you as I give it unto Jesus, our high priest, and he presents it as a sweet savor upon the altar before the throne, that you receive it from these thy people and accept it. And then as I take it and become steward over it, I take dominion and authority over these finances, and I bind them to the kingdom of the living God, that they shall be used for nothing but the necessities of life, as long as this type of finances is used, and that they shall multiply again and again and again and again for the kingdom's sake, until Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords of the nations of the earth. We know that in you, Father, it's already taken place, but we're looking for the day when we see it in our own lives and in the lives of those about us. Father, we decree that these finances shall be used for your glory. And I pray your anointing and your blessing upon these, Lord, that have contributed. I thank you that Abraham's blessing shall be their portion as they give for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, not only here, but in other places of endeavor as well to proclaim the kingdom of the living God. Father, your word tells us that first of all to remember those in authority over us. So this evening we lift up our nation and our president and the cabinet and those in authority. We thank you, Lord, for wisdom and guidance and direction, that the Spirit of the living God shall flow and move in places of authority in this nation. We bind and break the dominion and power of the Antichrist over those in authority in this land. We loose the Shekinah glory of the living God to come forth in power and authority and bring conviction upon the lives of men and women, that they shall bend their knee and confess and make Jesus Lord of their lives. Father, we thank you for a divine move of the Holy Spirit to flow and move across this nation, such as this nation has never yet known,
to bring a repentance to the nation. Father, we thank you for it, and I praise you for it tonight. Thank you for your presence in our midst. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. You may be seated. Praise you, Lord. Well, I'm going to introduce here quickly this evening, and then in the next 3 or 4 days, they'll all get a chance to be heard a time or two, more or less. More, I trust. But it's a privilege to have Brother Ray McCollum come over to be with us for a couple, 3 days. And as I understand, this is the first time you've been back here since the last time you was here, which was then the first time you was here. Well, it's a privilege to have you and come and greet us.
Thank you, Glenn. It's New Year's Eve, 1974. God spoke to me in Little Rock, said, go over to Hot Springs and I'll speak to you. And there was a flyer from the campground on my desk, and it was snowing here in Little Rock. We live in Nashville now. We pastor in Nashville, but it had Chuck Flynn's picture on it. And I got in the car and drove over by faith. I was really at low tide in my life. And God spoke a real prophetic word to me through Brother Chuck. Remember the message he preached? Transcribed the prophecy. Put it on a shelf. A lot of it didn't come to pass until just the last year or two. But God is faithful. And he lifted me up off the ground with that hope that was in that word from God. And God has brought it to pass abundantly. Over the years, I've received many, many tapes, many great articles from here. We've kept in touch with the Millers. And since David Alsobrook has been with us at Bethel Chapel in Nashville for the last over a year now, we were just thrilled that God let us come back. So we're just thrilled to be with you and glad to be here. We count it a privilege and an honor, and looking forward to sharing with you the good things of God. Thank you for having us. Amen.
Well, it's really, really, really a privilege. Good evening. Safe journey. Thank the Lord for it. To have David, we thought Diane was going to be along, but the children just, the babysitter for the children just went someplace else this week. And so, David's here, and we're glad for that. We wish Diane was, but we're glad for David. And we just appreciate him and the ministry that the Lord has given him. And you're going to be hearing from him in the next three or four days that they're here. But I want him to come and say hello and greet us. Glad to have him back. Amen. We was expecting to give him the trailer up on the hill to vacation in while they were here this week. But some other time. And I'm going to ask a favor of him. No, come here first. He knew what it was.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's great to be back at Lake Hamilton. And God is good. He's very good. He's greater than I previously perceived or recognized. And I'm very grateful for the blessings of the Lord and the faithfulness of God. I've just been sitting here thinking about all the wonderful people that God's brought in my life over the years. Morris Means heard me one of the very first times I ever preached the gospel in Amarillo, Texas, where I was saved in 1970 or 69. In 70 or 71, he heard me preaching in a park, and he's been a very dear friend ever since. I've stayed in his home, and humanly speaking, you probably have him to blame for me being in the full gospel movement. This gentleman right here in the silver hair all these years. I had to say silver hair because he called me, he said I look like an extinguished preacher up here tonight. And then Glenn and Irma had just been precious to me, and the Graves and Charlene and so many of you that are here tonight. And I just thank the Lord for friends. And then thinking about Chuck Flynn, I was so surprised. We lived in a little trailer in West Paducah, Kentucky. Have you ever heard of West Paducah? It's west of Paducah. We lived there for 11 years, and One day there was a knock at my door, and I went, and lo and behold, here was the greatest prophet of the Lord I'd ever heard standing at my door. And for a little while, I kind of shuddered in my boots, you know, and opened the door, and in walked Chuck Flynn and my brother-in-law, Jim Maloney, and Carol McCarroll. And God has just been faithful down through the years. And the Millers have been faithful, and Kevin and Patty. And, of course, I knew Kevin before he had Patty. I knew Kevin right after he cut his shoulder length hair. And he is much different today than he was then. I was thinking of that when I saw Raymond a little while ago before the service. I called him over to the table. I was visiting with Raymond. Man, what a different guy. You know, he's coherent. He's able to, I mean, just as normal as anyone else, you know. And the first time I saw Raymond, he was not all there, you know. So I want to tell you, that really speaks of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, doesn't it? And of the fruit of the ministry. I tell you, the Lord is so good. And then there's Brother Ray McCollum, who's my very best friend. First time I met Ray McCollum, I was 19. He was 29. I was playing the piano and singing and praising the Lord over at Grace Johnson's home in Little Rock. And looked over, and that's when I met Brother Ray McCollum. And who would have ever thought, you know, how God would turn things around? And now I'm sitting under him. I've been nurtured of the Lord and restored and helped so much to Ray and Elizabeth McCollum. So the Lord is really faithful. I mean, I'm just sitting around and have 20 years of history just gathered around me tonight. And I give the Lord praise for his faithfulness. He is faithful, and he is determined to perfect that which concerns me. And I'm confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in me will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. I have that confidence, and I thank him and praise him for it. For his love and his mercy and his goodness. Praise God. Is there a microphone? Over?
Okay, let's stand to our feet. Let's praise the Lord again. I'd
like just to sing a chorus. I haven't played the piano in meetings in years. So I kept hearing from different brethren. They said, you know, brother, that's why we have the body of Christ. One can preach, another one can sing. but, you know, some people keep saying, you know, why don't you play the piano and sing? So just for the anointing of the Lord. And this chorus, I taught it here years and years ago. I will magnify the Lord and exalt his holy name. Praise the Lord. I will magnify the Lord and exalt his holy name. With the sacrifice of joy, declare his praise for the same. We'll praise the Lord and clap our hands, play the tambourine. Let's sing and shout and dance about, Jesus is our King. We'll praise the Lord and clap our hands, play the tambourine. Let's sing and shout and dance about, Jesus is our King. Yes, I will magnify the Lord and his holy name. With a sigh of joy, declare his praise for the same. We'll praise the Lord and clap our hands, play the tambourine, sing and shout and dance about, Jesus is our King. We'll praise the Lord and clap our hands, tambourine. We'll sing and shout and dance about, Jesus is our King. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you. We praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
I didn't even have to tell him. He knew what I wanted. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good to have all these guys here. Never imagined that we'd all sit down together like this. If just us was here, it would be wonderful. Amen. Amen. All those that haven't got here yet don't know what they're missing. Amen, amen, amen. Well, praise the Lord Jesus. We've known David ever since he was a little boy. Seems like he was 19 when we first saw him, too. Well, we knew you long before that, boy. Yeah. When you started coming to the full gospel meetings around, just you was like a lost little soul, just all by himself around. But God is great. Amen. Well, Chuck, we're sorry Marianne isn't along too. We're still looking for her to come and bless
and bless us just by coming. You got to come and say hello. See, Chuck was the very first person who ever ministered in our very first camp meeting. Very first person who ever did. And Ray came to that very first meeting. It was up on the hill in the White House. Well, I'll shut up.
I tell you, there's been a lot of beginnings around. Wherever the Holy Ghost is honored, there's new beginnings. I like what the word studies. I like word studies from Dick Mills and others. But it says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And when they were in one accord, and there was a rushing mighty wind in Acts 2, verse 2, I looked up the word wind, and it's the word noe, P-N-O-E is the Greek word. And Dr. Luke, seemed like the Holy Ghost just said, now wait a minute here. We just thank God for the exchange of life in salvation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. But in every human heart, there's that fire of respect for His creation. And God said, now, Dr. Luke, you've been trained, and I want to use that training in your background. And every one of us have an essence of ministry. And in the personality, and in the id, and in the dimensions of that which men and Satan would try to diminish. And so he let Dr. Luke use his background. And the Holy Ghost says, what do you think happened, Luke? And Dr. Luke began to write, there was a rushing, mighty noe. Seemed good to the Holy Ghost. And he picked that word, noe, out of the language that them had read, that is, was a Septuagint, the Old Testament in the Greek, and Dr. Luke put in noe, P-N-O-E, and it's a word from a medical doctor's standpoint in the maternity term, in a maternity ward when a child is born, and the child breaks, you know, whenever the water breaks, there's a birthing, and whenever the water of the word is broken, there's a birthing. And Dr. Luke says when that baby is shot forth from the womb and shock is put to its little body, and the first thing it does is takes a breath. And that's the word he wrote for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the breath of beginnings. And that's exactly what we feel and know. Wherever the Holy Ghost is honored, amen. Such prophesying tonight set my soul free. I haven't heard that like that in all that fashion in a long time. And the instruments and the praise and the violin and all the... We glorify God. The stage is set. Now let's hear from heaven. Amen. Let's hear from the throne. God bless you.
This morning, Irma taught on the wind of the Spirit. Just exactly the same verse you quoted this morning. Amen. Well, we'll give the rest of the evening, that is up to midnight, to Brother Jack Harris. We trust nobody will fall out the window. Somebody will raise you from the dead. Amen. Brother Jack.
Yeah, I just now turned it on. Yeah, you can go when it turned on, can't you? These things bite. I got my own built in. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ah, we're certainly enjoying the good presence of the Lord. My goodness, and all this ministry here. We're just having a good time in the Lord's presence. Praise the Lord. I enjoyed these testimonies and looking forward to hearing these preachers give us the word and whatever as we get it as it comes their time or whatever. Praise the Lord. I guess I don't need an introduction. Most of you know me. Most of you do. Hallelujah. I've been around for quite a long time in the move of God. I came up through all of the oldest schools of Pentecost there is. The most legalistic. I got all of it. I have been baptized every way that you can baptize. I never was dunked. You know, there is a religious group that dunks them. You've heard of the dunkers? Well, I run into one of them up in Pennsylvania, I believe it was. And he asked me if I'd ever been dunked. And I said, no, I had never been dunked. But sometime if I'm around when you're dunking, well, dunk me. For me, you know, I didn't feel like it hurt me. And if there's any profit in it, well, you know, Paul said bodily exercise, he said there's a little bit of profit in it. A little profit in it. So, but yeah, I figured if there's any profit in it, I've done a lot of things just to, because it wasn't offensive to me, and if it helped me, all right, if it didn't, all right. If you had asked me 30 years ago, now 30 years ago I was a fairly young Christian, fairly young man too. And I was, you know, was just really, and that wind, that Holy Ghost was moving in me and through me. And I was having a great time. Revival all the time. Every time we'd stand up, we'd in the revival. And if you had asked me, Brother Jack, what is your hope? Well, you know what I'd have told you? I said, I hope I die and go to heaven. But 30 years later, if you ask me what is my hope, that's not my hope. It was a blessed hope, all right, and it was a good one. It brought me to a better hope. Now, if you ask me today, what do I hope? What is my hope? I'll tell you that I hope to live and reign with Christ. And to me, that's better than dying and going to heaven. but I do a lot of things just for the sake of identification. I mean, you know, I'll yield a little for cut you a little slack, just in case, just for the sake of identifying and for the sake of fellowship. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight I'd like to let me get into something here if we can, and let's turn over to 2 Kings. Well, maybe. We shouldn't start there. I don't know. We'll see. And all right. I'm going to teach on. I've got a thought in mind that I'm going to teach on Revelation. And we come into the kingdom by Revelation. We walk not by sight, but by faith. And faith can only come by revelation, by a foreknowledge. Well, to every man's given a measure of faith, but if you want to exercise and have that faith to materialize, you have to exercise it. The gifts of God are unlike the senses of God are unlike the senses of man. If you take the five senses of man and use them, they get dull, don't they? You don't hear as well, you don't see as well, you're not as keen, you're not as sensitive. But the Spirit, the work of the senses of the Spirit, would they get more sensitive, more keen, and they are building all the time through their exercising. The Bible said, where there is no vision, people perish. And that word vision could just as easily be translated a revelation. Where there is no revelation, people perish. If we would come, you know, the Apostle Paul, when all of his life, seeking to apprehend that for which he was apprehended for. What is the ultimate that God has called me to? The Apostle Paul was wondering. And attain unto that lofty aim that the Lord had for me was his heart's desire. I think that the Apostle Paul for a long time thought that he would walk into life. I hope to walk into life. I am a candidate to walk into life. I have announced my candidacy all over the world. And now that I am a candidate, what should I do? Well, brethren, make my call in an election sure. And I think, all right, when I say that I would like to walk into life, I mean that I would like to bypass the graveyard. Let there be no mistake about it. That's what I mean. I don't know whether I'll be able to do that or not. Because so much of it, there is one obstacle that I can do nothing about. There are some things that I can do something about. There is one thing that I can do nothing about. There is a time element that I can't change, and nobody else can change it. And if the time element is not suitable for my generation, then I won't be able to walk into life without going by the way of the grave. But if I go by the way of the grave, I'm still not defeated. Sometimes I get tired. I feel like if I'd go by the way of the grave, my wife would carry me over at the family cemetery and bury me on that clay hill, and I wouldn't get rested good till I'd hear the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And right out of there I'd come. Because I have a hope to wit the redemption body. Hallelujah. These are great hopes. In the 14th chapter of Revelation, we won't turn over there, but there's 144,000 that walked into life. They walk right into life. And there is a host of spirits of just men made perfect that is hovering over us that wants to come into life. But they without us cannot be made perfect. They're watching us now as we pursue this move of God to come to Zion. The ministry of this of the sons of God. You see, our ministry doesn't end with anything. Nothing ends this ministry. Atomic war can't end it. Hallelujah. The economy can't end this ministry. A dispensation ends, this ministry doesn't end. No, sir. God will carry this ministry right over into the next age. That's the beautiful age to minister in. I can't afford to miss that. And the only way that I can get into it is to be in Christed. And if I am in Christed and my generation, it is for my generation, I'll walk right into life. But if I do not walk into life because of only the time elements, the only thing that kept me from doing it, then I'll rise again in the first resurrection and I'll still minister through the kingdom age. We've got to, you see, we're going to bind the strong man of the house. And then we're going to plunder his goods, I'll tell you. We've got him caught in a crossfire right now. And I don't know if he's aware of it or not, but we've got this whole army of spirits of just men made perfect up yonder. And the devil is the prince of the powers of there down below them. And we're on the ground here, the great army of God, and we've got him caught between us. Hallelujah. And when you get caught in a crossfire like that, you're in trouble. And he's in trouble because we're going to cast him out of his holdings. Hallelujah. And take his dominion away from him. He usurped that dominion and that authority anyhow. And we're coming to the place that we're going to take it back. Hallelujah. And we're going to bind him for 1,000 years. That's just a starter. And during that 1,000 years is when this ministry will blossom. Oh, the wilderness and solitary places shall be glad for them. The desert shall blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with singing. And the glory of Lebanon shall be given to them. And the excellency of Carmel and of Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, our God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. Our God will come and save us. Then shall the blind eyes be open, and the deaf ears unstopped. The lame man shall leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And in the wilderness shall waters break forth, and springs in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And in the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there in the way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion, nor any ravenous beast shall go up there. They shall not be found there. But the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sadness and sorrow shall flee away.
It's one thing to bind the devil. It's another thing to and defeat him, but it's quite another thing to get his influence. You see, he has issued his influence from one corner of the universe to the other. And everywhere his influence can be seen. So in the kingdom age, when we come into the kingdom through the transition and the translation into the kingdom, after we have bound him, we're going to begin to eradicate his influence. Oh, this will be 1,000 years of good ministry when a child will die at 100 years old. I preached 700 funerals, and only one was over 100 years old. And that was last year. No, I believe it was early part of this year. But I preached a lot of them that was 90-something years old, and we spoke of the longevity. But a child dies at 100 years old in the kingdom. You see, it's sin that's killing us. Hallelujah. The law of sin's what's killing us. Hallelujah. So, but we've got to... Oh, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, of course, that's in the foreknowledge of God. But he has not actually my revelation exceeds my walk. You understand? Let me give you a principle in Colossians chapter 2. His influence will be strong in the kingdom 100 years after Satan's bound. But finally, we'll walk through this whole universe and cleanse it from any indication that he was ever here. Hallelujah. Yes. In the second chapter of Colossians, verse 6, here I give you a principle. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you. Now, that's simple, isn't it? It means to whatever measure you have received, to walk in that. Whatever revelation you have received, walk in it. You understand? You walk in that you have received. You can't walk in my revelation until it becomes a revelation to you. I could tell you, I can lay out the mechanics of sonship. and some might glean enough of it by intellect, through the intellect, to make an intelligent conversation among sons of God anyhow. But until it has to get through the intellect and get into the heart. And it has to get into the bloodstream. It has to become a part of you. And to whatever measure you have received Christ Jesus, our Lord, that's the measure that you can walk in. And you can't walk somewhere else. You have to walk there. But if you walk with him in the measure that you have today, I'll tell you, change will come. Change after change after change will come. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. We're changed from strength unto strength, from faith unto faith, from glory unto glory. And a lot of times people don't understand us as we walk by revelation. They didn't understand Paul as he walked by revelation. And that's kind of the thought I had. If you watch Paul's walk with God, he walked by revelation. I said that for a while he believed that he would walk into life, but finally he realized that it wasn't for his day. That his generation, it was for another generation. Whereupon he declared in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 8, I am an apostle out of due season. My revelation exceeds my walk. I see that I cannot apprehend in the span of a man's lifetime, I cannot apprehend that for which I am apprehended for. I can only apprehend that for which I was apprehended for and purpose to apprehend during a man's lifetime. Paul will rise again in the first resurrection and be prominent in the ministry that will be ministered during the kingdom age. Many of the old saints will rise and be ministered. Daniel has the direct promise. John has the direct promise. And we too can claim the direct promise.
Now, as Paul journeyed through, you see, we're going by revelation. And when we go by revelation, like I say, people don't quite understand you. And I don't try to explain my revelation to everybody. If I sit down on an airplane with somebody and we strike up a conversation and they ask me, "Are you charismatic?" I say, "Yeah, I'm charismatic." But charismatics will tell you that I'm not charismatic. But I'll say, "Yeah, I'm charismatic." They say, if they say, "Are you Pentecost?" I say, "Yeah, I'm Pentecost." Are you apostolic? Yeah, I'm apostolic. You know what I know is that I'm not giving them anything. They're trying to identify me. What they want to know is, do I talk in tongues? But they hadn't quite, you know, they're not quite bold enough just to say it like that, so they feel me out. Are you charismatic? Yes. Are you Pentecost? Yes. Are you an apostolic? Yes. I'm all of these things. Are you, well, I am move of God.
You move of God?
Yeah. Well, everybody ought to be move of God. You could still be charismatic or Pentecostal or apostolic. All right? Then I get off that plane on another one. I'm a fella, and he says, we talk, and he sees that I, you know, he'll watch me for a while, and he says, "Hey, this guy is, he must be religious." So he says to me, he says, "Are you born again?" No, first he asked me if I'm a Christian. I said, "Yeah." He said, "Are you born again?" I said, "Yeah, born again." See, I don't bother to tell him all that I know. I'm going with him as far as his revelation goes. And then my revelation reaches on out beyond that. I know some things that he doesn't know, but I know all that he knows plus some. And I'm not obligated to tell him all that I know. Now, if we rode together a lot, I would explain to him that I'm not truly born again. But see, I couldn't just drop a bombshell like that. It would disappoint him. A religious guy like myself admitting that he's not really born again. But I tell you what is happening to me. I am in the process of being birthed. I'm in gestation in the womb of the church right now. But when that day comes, he'll have a happy people in that day and a glad people. And when that morning comes, hallelujah, I will be. My birth will be complete. Yes, amen. When I'm birthed, I expect to be birthed a full-grown son of God. Amen. He has planted the seed that I am the result of, and I'm in the womb of the church, and I'm having growing pains in here. You have a boil an egg and crack the shell and look at the end of it and it's got that little dimple in it, like that. You know what that's for? That's for oxygen. It doesn't fill that shell completely. It has that little vacuum there that's full of oxygen. And that has a purpose. It's for that baby chicken. When that chicken gets so big and so mature, he starts pecking at that shell, doesn't he? And when he pecks, you know, there's an inner shell inside that one shell. There's an inner shell. And between that inner shell and the outer shell is that pocket. That's where that oxygen is. And that baby bird starts pecking. When he feels that he ought to do something, he just pecks. And he keeps pecking until he pecks through that inner shell. And when he pecks through that inner shell, he has a new, he begins to live a new life. He's about to be birthed here. He's been in gestation in this egg for 3 weeks or whatever length of time that it's taken. And when he pecks through there, he breathes that oxygen that was between them two layers of shells. He can no longer breathe what he was breathing on the inside of that inner shell. He now has taken on a new life. And this life demands oxygen. And he's got just enough oxygen in there to, if he works hard and fast, he can get to some more by the time that is exhausted. But if he doesn't work fast and furiously, he'll run out of oxygen in there before he gets to where there's some more. But if he does it right, he'll finally peck through that shale and discover that there's a whole world of oxygen out here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now he's hatched. He's born. Now that's the way that we sons of God are. We're inside there, but we feel we're beginning to flex our muscles. And we're beginning to feel a move. We're beginning to feel to do something. So we begin to peck. Hallelujah. Amen. And we'll peck through that outer shell and get a whiff of that oxygen. And then we're going to go to work. Get out there where you can get a whole lung full of it. Huh? Sons of God, it has pleased the Father that by him he shall bring many sons to glory. Oh, in the ministry of this many-membered sonship company. So men have moved. Now, God didn't just spring this on to us here in the last chapters of the Bible. He's been bringing it to us all along. And I show you that when we come, you see sometimes, like I say, I come through the old school. I can sit down with an old-time Pentecostal and he tells me all that he knows. And I know all of that. And I disagree with him. But if I was to tell him what I know beyond that, he'd backslide. They was heavy on backsliding anyhow. You might near was expected to backslide about three times before you could get a good traction, you know. good people. Great. It was a move of God. It's what God was doing in the earth, and that they were out there in front. Boy, I was out there when it wasn't popular. Yeah. I was speaking in tongues before it got popular. Yeah. All right, now we're going to start in Kings. I'll show you here in the Old Testament, in Elijah, here is the man, and Elisha. Now, Elisha has a revelation. But I want to get back to Paul, but I want to do this, and then we'll come to Paul. We'll come from the old to the new and show you how that men have moved by revelation toward the kingdom, always. Here, all right? Let's start with the first verse. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. All right? They're leaving Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elijah said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace." Now here we have a school of the prophets, the sons of the prophets, school of the prophets here, and they have that they have come to, and they have a revelation that the Elijah is going to be taken away. So they approach Elijah and say, "Did you know that Elijah is going to be taken away? Your head's going to..." "Yeah," he said, "I know it. Hold your peace." And what he didn't tell them was that he knew something else. This is all they knew. They're giving him all, their whole revelation there in one scope. The head's going to be taken away. But Elisha knows something. He knows that, but he knows further than that. Yeah, hallelujah. See? Now, you know, when religious people talk to me, I know that, but I know further than that, too. And Elisha knew further than that. All right? So Elijah is leaving Gilgal, which is a desired place indeed. It is the first encampment of Israel when they broke loose from their captivity. And it is a place where they were circumcised. It is a type of, it signifies a rolling away of sin and a putting away the sin of the flesh, if you want the spiritual aptitude of it. And that's certainly what we want. Hear me by the Spirit tonight. Lord, open our spirit of revelation and let us receive as much as we can from the blessed truth tonight, O Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, so it is a good place to stay. As a matter of fact, that's where many have stayed, isn't it? They've got, you know, they broke out of Babylon. They broke out of Egypt, which is a type of being delivered from having their sins taken away, or being forgiven of their sins, that is. And they have, they've dealt mostly with the flesh realm. I told you the old school that came up through dealt with the flesh. But do's and don'ts. Legalistic. Oh, if it were not for their legalism, they could have made the transition. Many of them did make the transition, but many of them couldn't because they simply can't give up that legalistic mentality. They have a legalistic mentality. Then, of course, that's bad, but it's not any worse than the other extreme, where they want to break out of everything and have no restraints and actually be offended if you talk about the law. We're not under the law, they say. Well, we're not under the legalistic aspects of the law. But you show me a law in the Old Testament, and I'll show you that principle in the New Testament. You say, well, they get nasty in the Old Testament. How about eye for eye? Well, how about be not deceived? God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's your principle of that law right there. Way over with Paul. He still got the principle of it, hadn't he? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Yeah, how about that law? Well, Jesus dealt with that one too. It's the 8th chapter of John where the adulterous woman is brought to him accused of adultery and told that the law of Moses says she should be stoned to death. You had to kill her. What are you going to kill her for? So she won't do it no more. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. So Jesus said, all right, he said, they said, well, what do you say we are to do? He said, oh, I tell you what, let the execution begin. He that is without sin can start it. You get to cast the first stone. And he sits down, writes in the ground, and they begin to walk away, one at a time. And when they've all walked away, Jesus said to her, woman, where are your accusers? She said, sir, I have none. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go your way and sin no more. See what Jesus, they killed her to stop it. And he said, this has got to stop. Don't sin anymore. There's your principle there. The principle always comes forth. You can't ever be without restraints. Until you come to that fullness of that birth. You know what happens to me when I come to that birth? All of these laws that have bothered me so bad. These restraints that I feel that are aimed at the flesh. And this, I have to watch and keep under this old man and bring him under subjection, lest by any means after I preach this glorious message to others, I become a castaway. You see. And so these laws have been confining on me. But you know what's going to happen to me when I peck through that eggshell and come into that full birth? I'm going to walk into the perfect law of liberty. And I'll be walking by the same principles that bothered me so bad in the past. They're just part of my nature now. I don't have to walk. I don't have to be circumspectly. I don't have to be nervous. I don't have to try. I've had a new birth. My nature has been changed. They were contrary to my old nature, but I've got a nature that they're not contrary to now. And I can walk in the beauty of holiness, not in the legalistic realm of holiness, but in the beauty of holiness. All right, so Elijah said, I've got to leave Gilgal, and I'm going down to Bethel. Yeah. Well, as we said, Gilgal is a good place to be. It's where that's where your denominational churches are now. Your fundamental churches, they're at Gilgal. They just got released from Egypt. And they've never went to another encampment. They had so much fun at Gilgal, they just stayed there. When that old trumpeter, you know, and the old, when Israel moved by the cloud and by the fire, At night, they always had the watchman on the wall. Well, it wasn't a wall, but they had the watchman. They had sentries posted with bugles, horns, and trumpets with trumpets. And in the night, if that cloud began to rise, a sentry would give the word that the cloud is rising. And the trumpeters would be ordered to sound the alarm. They'd lift them trumpets to their lips and sound, God is rising! And all of Israel would rise to follow that cloud. And if you didn't follow that cloud, you lost your air conditioning. Hallelujah. And you lost your spring of water, too. Hallelujah. It would be a dry place around there. Amen. For God would move the fire. And he'd move the cloud. And God's over yonder, and you're still back here. A lot of people encamped at Gilgal. But he said, I'm going to Bethel. You stay at Gilgal. Fair offering, wasn't it? Offer him to stay in this desired place. He said, no, I'm going to Bethel with you. Huh. Hallelujah. He said, well, Bethel, what's Bethel mean? The house of God. House of God. Place to worship God. It was where Jacob wrestled with the blessed Lord. And had his nature changed and was given the name of Israel. It was a dreadful place, a place that the Lord was present. And Jacob didn't recognize his presence for a while. But he wrestled with him, and he wrestled all night. You remember? And the angel of the Lord said, let me go. He said, I won't let you go till you bless me. It's commendable of Jacob because he didn't know that the angel would have to leave break of day. He ain't got but another couple of hours to hold this wrestling match. But he didn't know that. He was prepared to go the distance. Hallelujah. Amen. He wasn't going to give up. So the Bethel means a house of bread. So he said, as your soul liveth, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to Bethel with you. He's going up to the house of the Lord where the bread of God is being broken. Yeah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Oh, what a task lies before us and beyond us. My Lord, to apprehend that for which we are apprehended for. To know our calling, brethren. Do we know our calling? Or are we just doing something because I often use the expression, I only did what fell in my lap. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I mean by that, that I never, some of the things that I did that may have been commendable, I didn't really just seek them out to do them. I was just there when it happened, and it was my reaction. It was maybe happened to be commendable or less commendable or whatever. Anyway, all right, so they come to Bethel, and they meet these prophets, and they say, yeah, Elijah's going to be taken away. Well, he said, I know it. Just hold your peace. Then you come down to verse 4, and Elijah said unto him, Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I won't leave thee. Again, in the 5th verse, the sons of the prophets meets him and said, don't you know that the Lord's going to be taken away today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. Again, that's all they know. Today is the day Elijah is going to be taken away. But Elijah knows something else. He's walking in a deeper revelation. So he's letting them expound their revelation to him. And he's agreeing with it. It's true. But he knows a greater truth. Something beyond. I'm talking about Elisha and Elijah, but I'm really working with the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. He always walked by a deeper revelation, knew where he was going, and he could see out further than those that ministered with him and to him could see. And so he accepted their ministry humbly, but he knew something beyond that they didn't know. And here, again, all right, Jericho is a place of fragrance. It means fragrant. It's a place of high fragrance. It's also a place of miracles. It's where God miraculously, just by the sovereign, miraculous power of God, removed the walls and destroyed the enemy of God's people. A complete miracle. They didn't fire a shot. They didn't take anything to hand. They simply marched around the city in obedience the certain number of times, and then they shouted as was the command, and the priests sounded the trumpets, and the walls come falling in. It was a place of miracles. Well, you see, after you come to Gilgal, get your sins forgiven, and come to Gilgal, get the flesh kindly desiled a little, then you, the Holy Ghost, you come to Pentecost, to that mighty rushing wind that Brother was talking about here tonight. And then the miracle. Then we come into a miracle ministry. Jericho is a type of that, of the miracle gifts of the Spirit. Know how we, in the gifts of the Spirit. And when the latter rain came, well, we was moving in gifts of Spirit before the designated latter rain came. But we moved in them in a greater measure with that revival. Something very distinct happened about there when the latter rain was, so-called latter rain was poured out. Something definitely happened. And I think that we, I don't know, I try to figure, if you try to figure what happened to us. My Lord, there was a time 20 years ago, about 18, go, take me back about 15, 18 years ago, 15 to 20 years ago, and I thought, honestly, really, I thought, boy, we'll walk into this thing quick. We won't hang another Christmas stocking till we'll be walked into the kingdom.
Yeah.
But we didn't. I don't know what happened. And it seems to me, if I go by observation, it would seem to me like we're further from it now than we was then. I mean, but God said that the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, but it is in you. I think we were looking for something out there, and he was looking for something in here. We was getting the cart before the horses, wasn't we? We always do that, don't we? We read about greater things than these shall you do, and so we start, let's do them greater things. Well, that's a good thought, but how about let's do them them first works? Yeah. He said, after you've done all of these things that I do, then you will do greater works. But everybody won't start at the top and do the greater works. No, you don't do it that way. You have to do the works that he did, and then shall you do these works, and greater works shall you do. Hallelujah. Well, this is Jericho. How we walked in the prophecy, when the prophetic word came. And, oh, goodness. I stood before a presbytery 35 years ago, give or take a couple. And they laid me out. Just laid it out for me. Called all the shots. Just about all of them. Just about everything they spoke to me has come to pass in a measure or to some extent. I wondered how in the world could I do all of that. And how many of me there was going to be? They had me everywhere, and I've been everywhere. Hallelujah. Amen. And preach this glorious gospel. Now, I never forget that what this old apostle, I can't call his name now, but he's still living. He's about 85 or so years old by now. Seemed like his name's Stetson. You know our brother Stetson? Yeah, that was his name. And he said, I'm going to send you all over the world. And everywhere you go, I'll give you favor with the people you minister to. And you know, he really has done that. He really has. He's given me favor everywhere. I've preached to every denomination, except I never preached in a Catholic church, but I preached to Catholic people, but I preached in all other denominations in their churches. And you know what I preached? Anybody that's known me for a long time, so yeah, I know what he preached. He preached kingdom God, sonship. Maybe, yeah, I did. I had two services in the Methodist church, and the first one, I just kind of got acquainted with them. You know, dropped a little nugget or two here and there. And yeah. alert them back for the night service. And that night, I preached sonship to them. And they loved it. And God opened the spirit of revelation, and they began to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost around there, and the whole church got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Not that night, but in the next 3 months they did, the whole church. And they was no longer, they were Methodists, but they was move of God. And they're still there. I can take you to the church now. They call me every once in a while. We'll know when I can come back. You know, they don't need me now as much as they needed me then. Hallelujah. Well, yeah. God just sent me. It was just as sovereign as you have to look at the sovereignty of God. I was preaching a convention in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. And this preacher was from Pennsylvania. Just, you know, everything close together up there, like it is in Texas. And this preacher asked the host pastor who was preaching this convention, said, "Y'all going through the weekend?" Yeah. I said, "What's Brother Harris going to do? Is he going to preach Sunday?" He said, "Well, he probably will, but I hadn't, you know, it wouldn't matter." "Why, you got..." "Oh," he said, "I'd like to have him come to my church." And he said, "Well, first he asked me if I'd come to his church." And I said, "Well, I would if you'd make it all right with the host pastor here. But I'm with him. And I wouldn't go unless he says it's good, wants me to." So we went and asked the... He asked the host pastor. And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Brother Jack should go." And he tells his other preacher, "He'll be a blessing to you." Well, I don't know. I was a nerve to him that morning. But, I mean, I had him nervous, you know. He's sitting there real nervous. He didn't know what I was going to do next. And I didn't know either, so, but I wasn't nervous about it. But that night I preached, and I preached sonship just like, you know, what I do from the... I just took it from the unction. And then I explained the Holy Ghost to them. They's almost like them that Paul found over there in Ephesus. They hadn't hardly heard there be no Holy Ghost. Well, that was all right with me, because if you ain't heard there be one, you ain't against it. And it's them folks that's been hearing there was one all the time, been versed against it. That's hard. They were easy. I ministered to them, and they began to speak in heavenly language. And I guess 12, 15 of them received the baptism there in 15 minutes. Hallelujah. And they shouted. Hallelujah. And then the next night, well, they all came over to where I was preaching in the Move of God convention. God, if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. When God reaches down to pluck one out of the fire, he'll pluck him out of there, won't he? Jesus said, "All you give me, Father, has come to me." And I hadn't lost none of them except Judas, who was, yeah. But he said, "No man can pluck them out of my hand." He didn't say you couldn't walk out of there if you want to, but nobody can take you out of there. I tell you, we are not just joined something, we're part of something. We've been made partakers of his divine majesty and divine nature. And that's not just a shed room built on, brother. That's built in. Hallelujah. You even got the air conditioning ducts hooked to you here. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not an afterthought. We were, oh, hallelujah. We're in his bosom, in his mind. I came through the old school, and you know, you couldn't even read where it says predestinated. If you did, you better read fast. And don't dwell there at all. You couldn't use the word. And because you know what predestinated was to them? That you're saying what is to be will be. And it's a fatalist mentality. But I didn't never have any trouble with predestination, because I understand predestination. I understand that it is in the foreknowledge of God. And I don't know all that God knows. Just like these school of prophets didn't know all that Elijah knew. I do not know all that he knows, but he's working on that. Hallelujah. Amen. I know more that he knows now than I knew that 10 years ago or so. All right, so we wouldn't want to stay at Jericho. Everybody wanted to stay at Jericho. So the Pentecostal came to Jericho, and they stayed. They rehearsed the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, the beauty of the gifts of the Spirit. I'd like to have about 200 people that hadn't heard there be any such thing as Holy Ghost and just lead them in myself. With the help of God, of course. I'd just instruct them. I'd lead them into the gifts of the Spirit, and I wouldn't let them slack up till they've made a ministry out of every one of them gifts.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Might as well make a ministry out of it, if it's a gift. Make a ministry and then help somebody. And we'd come to Zion, hallelujah, with everlasting joy on our heads. We really would. We got a lot of, you know, a lot of unbelief, a lot of people that are dying. People just wouldn't give up their little belief. Even they quit believing it a long time ago, but they're still defending it. They're making out like they believe it. My daughter was kindly upset that she's got a little boy, 9 years old. She was kindly upset that a neighbor told him that there wasn't no Santa Claus. And she said, well, I didn't want him to know that. And I said, oh, don't get excited about it, baby. I said, he believed it was Santa Claus. You conned him for 4 years. The first 4 years, you conned him into believing it. But he's been conning you the last 5. He hadn't believed that in 5 years. But he just hadn't had nobody to tell him that directly like this neighbor did. And I said, you conned him 4 years, and he conned you 5, and that makes you all even. Hallelujah. Well, thank the Lord. Yeah, all right. So then they come to, when they get to Jericho, in verse 6, Elijah says, tarry, I pray, here. He wants him to stay here. Any of these places would be beautiful to stay, but because God has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, my soul liveth, I won't leave you. And they too went on. Here again, the 50 sons of the prophet meet them and views them afar off. And they again, they know that Elijah is going to be taken today. But that's all they know. And Elijah said, just hold your peace. Now, Elijah has further revelation. Now we're going to come right into it here. And Elijah took his mantle in the 8th verse. Wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were going over that Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah had the already, I know that he had the revelation of this. He already has the answer ready. He doesn't have to think. He said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. That's what the school of the prophets didn't know. But Elijah knew it. Hallelujah. Elijah was walking in a greater revelation than they were. So he humbly received their revelation.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.